Hello, we're talking about coronavirus today. I'm Lou Gumm. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC, and I'm skipping my normal regular explanatory intro so we can get right to our guest. She's Mica Naranjo. She's the head of YRMC's infection prevention team. We're going to ask her some basic questions about coronavirus and see what we can learn today. And if you have any questions, you're welcome to call us up at 928-344-7693. And we don't have capacity to put them on the air, but we'll hopefully get those on the air and get them answered for you. Or you can go to Facebook.com/KAWC radio and leave us your question there. Mica Naranjo, again, is head of YRMC's infection prevention team. I so appreciate you taking time this morning to be with us.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
So as I said, when you walked in, I have really basic questions, and maybe they will get more complicated, at least in terms of my mind, probably not for you. What is COVID-19? And we hear COVID-19 and then we hear coronavirus. And what is the difference?
So with coronavirus, there are a strain, it's a family, I guess you could say, of coronaviruses. They each have a different kind of type number. Every year we do see naturally occurring, seasonally occurring coronaviruses. This new novel 2019 coronavirus, or COVID-19 that people are calling it, is novel, which means basically it's new. It's not something that we've seen before. We haven't had a lot of time, you know, maybe now we're going on maybe 2 months where we can actually study it, see what makes it better, see what makes it worse, and see really how it's affecting our population.
And so when we hear that word novel, it means new.
New.
Okay.
Correct. Uh-huh.
So you're part of the infection prevention team at YRMC. When does something like COVID-19 come onto your radar?
Pretty early on. I do, of course, network with other professionals across the country. And so we started hearing of it pretty early on. And of course, day to day, once China really started kind of sharing their information with
everybody. And you mean like early January?
Early January.
Yeah. So where do you get your information then? You said you have a network of professionals that you deal with, but where do you get information that you trust?
First and foremost, CDC, for sure. That's definitely the source that we follow here in the United States. They have the most up-to-date information and the most appropriate information, especially for, you know, us as a community, as public health, et cetera. We rely on them for our information. Secondly, I subscribe to the American Professionals in Infection Prevention, and so they also use CDC guidelines.
So really, it's not just your eyes that have to be on things. There are
Correct.
A lot of people watching and sharing that information among each other.
Absolutely.
So let's get a little bit more detail about COVID-19. How is it transmitted?
So COVID-19 typically is transmitted through droplets when somebody is coughing or sneezing or handling their respiratory secretions. You know, that would be, I guess, the most high risk of transmission is if someone coughs directly within, they're saying, about 6 feet of you. And so that's the first way it transmits. Secondly, if they're coughing or sneezing on a surface, and then the next person goes, touches that surface, and then you touch face or mouth and are kind of dealing with your own respiratory secretions. So that would be how it would transmit.
So what are the ways then that you can prevent that transmission?
Very most basic is hand hygiene, really cleaning your hands often, whether that's with soap and water or with hand sanitizer. Of course, before and after you go to the bathroom, before and after eating, especially when you're in public, it's great to have a sanitizer available in your pocket or purse. You know, those high touch surfaces, if you think about how many people are touching door handles and shopping carts and all of those kinds of things that probably don't get cleaned very often.
Now, the basics of hand washing, we're hearing a lot of different information. I heard something the other day that said that you had to really dry your hands. Why would that be important?
You want to. So, of course, first and foremost, getting a good amount of water, a good amount of soap. Really, the friction is the most important part for at least about 20 seconds. And then drying them so that you're completely dry. You're not having any kind of residual that you may have not rinsed off of your hands. You want that completely dry and off your hands.
Now, what about things like, and these are the things that maybe are confusing people or at least forcing them to make changes in their lives that are basic sounding but harder to do than you think, like touching your face. We hear that people touch their face a lot. And ever since we've been talking about that, I honestly tell you that I cannot keep from touching my face since I've been told not to. Why is that so important?
Our hands, if you kind of put it in perspective, our hands are the things that touch and explore the world, right? We touch everything with our hands. And we can't guarantee that those surfaces or whatever we're touching are clean. So if we're touching that infected or dirty surface, and then naturally we're, you know, rubbing our nose or wiping our mouth or, you know, we have a tickle and we're kind of rubbing our nose, then we have potentially exposed ourselves. So it's really important. It's extremely hard not to touch your face, yeah. But it's a habit that we all do. But as much as you can, try not to, or keep your hands very clean so that when you are touching your face, it's with a clean hand.
I was just going to say, if you are washing your hands and you're sort of taking other precautions, don't knock yourself out if you happen to touch your face, right?
Yes. It's not over end game for you. It's
okay. You came in earlier this morning, and I want to thank Darren Finger from YRMC as well, who's here. And we greeted each other, and my normal response is to shake hands. But we didn't shake hands this morning.
We didn't. And, you know, I think if your hands are intact and then you go and do hand hygiene after, it's probably okay. But when it's not readily available at the hospital, it's everywhere, right? We have sanitizer everywhere. But in the event it's not readily available, we kind of want to maybe pull back on some of those greeting gestures. Also, because like with COVID, you can be ill already, kind of, and similar to the flu, you can be sick for 2-3 days and not really know yet. You can be shedding that virus. And so it is important really just to kind of, that we are thinking about those ways that it spreads and maybe for a while not doing, you know, that contact.
You mentioned the flu and I want to get back to that, but I want to stick here for just a minute.
Sure.
Because people live in homes. They have children. There are people coming and going at all times. What about hugging? What about that intimate space at home?
I don't stop hugging your kids, of course, or your family members, but do it with clean hands and make sure, you know, I think communication is super important. If we're talking about, hey, if you start feeling like your body's weak or you start feeling chills or you wake up sweating at night, you might start, you know, not feeling well. And so let's talk about that and let's talk about how we can prevent that and kind of prevent any kind of transmission after somebody is ill in your house.
What about some of those populations that have been identified as higher risk, older populations? We know that we have a lot of older people here mm-hmm. in the Yuma area. Who are they exactly, and why are they an at-risk population?
So what, you know, early studies are coming out is that it is hitting population typically 60 and above and then 80 up and above a little bit harder than the rest of, you know, the age groups. But also knowing that, you know, 60 and above, you have, most people have other kind of diseases. So whether that's heart disease, lung disease, you know, other types of diseases that make their immune system not as able to kind of fight off these kinds of viruses. And so they are getting hit a little bit harder. What is important for them as well is stay home if you can, stay out of crowds if you can. But if you can't, then when you are doing that, really good hand hygiene, avoiding sick people, and then, you know, that's, I think, the best kind of prevention that we can.
Well, and you said don't stop hugging your kids. Don't stop hugging grandma.
I think it's what's super important is identifying that you're ill early on as much as you can. So if you start feeling symptoms, that's the kind of time to say, hey, you know, I haven't really been feeling ill. I'm just, you know, no disrespect, but I just need to maybe stay away for a little bit.
And we should mention real quick that at this time, there have been no confirmed cases of COVID-19 or coronavirus in Yuma County. There's news of a test being done down from San Luis Health Center. But at this point, nothing in Yuma County.
At this point, we don't have any confirmed cases.
So why then would we take these precautions?
Prevention goes a long way. We do know that it's spreading, right? You see the news every day. It is spreading. We know that it's going to come kind of like flu season every year. We know it's coming, right? And so preventing that goes a long way. And so if we can prevent illness or, you know, at least kind of be ahead of it when it comes, hopefully it doesn't hit us as hard. And then it cycles through and hopefully we can carry on after, you know, it kind of cycles through our community.
It's also, as we noted at the top of the hour, it's new.
Correct.
It's a new illness. So when you talk about the flu, we have an infrastructure in place to fight the flu. We have vaccines. We have health strategies. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are similar to what we're trying to do to stop COVID-19. But yes. What is the difference between the flu and COVID-19?
So the flu, as you know, we do have a vaccine for. We know that it comes every year, so we're able to study it a lot more. We have a heads up. We know that it pretty much comes in, you know, winter, late winter, and typically dies out around early spring, late spring, depending on kind of what we're seeing.
We're lucky to have the heat that we have.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm hoping that helps us with this COVID.
Yeah, I've read that they don't know if that
they
will happen. But, if anywhere.
Yeah, I'm really hopeful.
Something should get cooked out. It ought to be here. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. I want to remind you that if you have questions for Mika, you can give us a call at 928-344-7693 or go to facebook.com/KAWC radio and leave your questions there. We're going to continue this conversation in just a moment. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. I'm Lou Gum. We're talking to Mika Naranjo. She's the head of YRMC's infection prevention team. So can you tell me a little bit, Mika, more about the infection prevention team? What's the task of the infection prevention team at YRMC?
So our goal is to help, of course, all of our staff use standard precautions. And what that means is kind of help us prevent the spread of or transmission of any kind of infection. So equipping them with what they need. We also are, you know, a part of all kinds of teams. So surgery and, employee health and all of those kinds of smaller teams to enable them to prevent infection and to keep our patients as safe as we can while they're in our hands. And then also, of course, educating them when they leave so that they know how to protect themselves and, you know, prevent any infection as well.
We're hearing a lot of stories about shortages of equipment. How is YRMC set up?
So currently our supply is secure. Of course, there is concern about future supply because of the limited transport that we have from, you know, things coming in. So a lot of our supply does come just naturally from out of the country. And so in the future, we might have a little tighter crunch, but we are doing everything we can to conserve as much as possible and to really use it appropriately. Use it when it's needed, protect yourself, but otherwise, if it's standard precautions, clean your hands, do those basic things that we already know how to do without
equipment. What are the things that kick off the next step for your team? Is it a report from County Health, something from CDC? What kicks in the next level of precautions for your team at YRMC?
So we're definitely taking it day by day and doing, you know, everything that we can. There's so much information every day that's coming out, how to protect, how to do these things. Of course, you've heard of the closures everywhere. And those are good steps to make sure that we don't have, you know, worse spread. We know that it's coming. But by doing those kinds of little controls, we can make sure that we protect our community.
Well, for example, Once, I think you're saying once there is a confirmed case in Yuma County, does that kick in a next level of precaution or are you pretty
waiting.
Much where you're
yeah,
at? Right?
We aren't waiting. We want to prevent as much as we can. And we are continually every day kind of upping it a little bit. You know, let's do this. Let's do that. Let's make sure we are keeping our community safe. We have not only just the standing hospital, but we have clinics across the community all the way to San Luis. So we touch a lot of patients, and we want to make sure we are doing the best that we can for them.
Let's talk briefly about symptoms. We talked a little bit about the flu and the difference between COVID-19 and the flu, but the symptoms are similar.
They're very similar. You know, the fever, the cough, the shortness of breath, the chills, they are saying with COVID that there might be an increased, symptom of shortness of breath. So you might feel more short of breath than you would with the flu. And we do know that the flu is kind of fading out. So we've seen less cases. And so there's more, you know, chance that it's something other that's viral. You know, it could be COVID, but it could be also all those other strains of viral infection that are still circulating.
People do tend to worry that whatever they have is the big thing that everyone's talking about. Mm-hmm. Has the hospital seen an increase in people concerned about their health? And what are you telling them?
We are telling them, you know, of course, if they come in to be seen, we're screening them. We're, you know, if need be, we're asking them to wear a mask. until we can kind of move forward with testing if they're appropriate for testing. Not everybody that, you know, is having maybe just a fever or, hey, I don't feel good, is an appropriate candidate for testing. We, of course, are looking at the CDC guidelines as far as what symptoms are really showing us that, you know, this is likely a COVID case.
How is testing ordered here in our region? Is it something that you have to request from someone else? Does YRMC have its own capability?
At the moment, we are able to collect samples for appropriate patients, and we send them out. Hopefully in the near future, we will have a local test available, but as of today, we don't.
But that's the current procedure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If I have a doctor's appointment and I'm feeling sick, should I go to my doctor's appointment or should I go to the hospital?
It depends on how ill you're feeling, right? If you're short of breath and you can't catch your breath and you're kind of fearing that, you know, something might really be wrong, of course, we want you to seek emergency treatment. But if it's, you know, like I feel like I have the flu and I'm okay and I can still walk and I'm, you know, my activities are not severely limited, then it's probably a good idea to call your PCP first and let them know how you're feeling and gain instruction from them.
Yeah, so start with your PCP and go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people might be concerned about going anywhere these
days.
Mm-hmm. What about someone who's in your family who might be feeling sick, especially if it's someone who's older? Same strategy, call their PCP and see what to do?
Yeah, so definitely good to call their PCP. With COVID, there currently is not a specific drug or treatment. Very much like the flu, except we do have antivirals for the flu. It is symptomatic treatment, so treat your fever, treat your cough, rest, hydrate, do all those things. And so that, you know, we don't have a treatment for it other than that. So it's important that, yes, follow, you know, go to your PCP, get that symptomatic treatment. If you're worsening and it's an emergency, then of course come see us at the hospital.
Let me rephrase that. We've heard this term social distance.
Mm-hmm.
I know that at the hospital, you probably all practice that just as a general rule of getting through the day. But what is social distance? How can we practice that in our day-to-day lives?
Social distancing, kind of in the idea of only go out if you have to. So if you need to go buy groceries, yes, absolutely. While you're there, take precautions. Wipe down those surfaces like carts or those high-touch surfaces.
And a lot of stores have antibacterial
wipes
right there.
Right at the door.
Uh-huh. Right by the carts.
Yes. Yeah, so do that. Again, a lot of things are being canceled, so we're kind of being forced to stay home. But yes, don't. I would say not congregating in large crowds, especially in small spaces. About 6 feet is what they're saying is, you know, that transmission. So as much as you can, it's not fun, right, for a while,
right. Yeah.
But it's good for our health. So that's kind of the basics of that.
Is there any way to know, Mika, how long this will go on?
There is not. So they are saying people are typically infectious from anywhere like 2 to 14 days. So if you think about, you know, once we do have our first cases and, you know, we have a big population. So we, you know, I honestly don't have a great answer for that. But for the person, it should be about 2 to 14 days.
And for the layperson, again, what are the ways that, we'll just reiterate this from earlier on, what are the ways that they can take precautions to keep themselves safe on a day-to-day basis?
So basic precautions, again, really good hand hygiene,
yeah.
Whether that's with soap and water or sanitizer.
Find a good song. Good 20
right?
Song,
there's
right?
So many good songs.
Yeah.
Twinkle Little Star is a great one. Happy Birthday is great. Sing it twice. You're good. Really good friction. Like we said, kind of avoiding those big public crowds or congregating with, you know, a lot of people. If you're immunocompromised, you definitely want to talk to your doctor about additional measures that you might be taking. If you do have chronic illness, you want to make sure you're compliant on your medications and keeping yourself healthy that way so that your immune system is as good as it can be to fight this.
Now, what about, before I let you go, what about kids? We're hearing that kids don't seem to be getting it as much as older people are. I don't know why that would be. Maybe you do. But is it true?
So we have not seen a whole lot of cases with kids. In the U.S., you know, I don't think there's probably more than 5 cases that they've publicized that have hit kids. And I'm not sure, you know, that virus is typically affecting just older.
Kids are tough.
Yeah, kids are pretty tough. Kids are resilient. But that doesn't mean that, you know, they can't help us transmit it. without knowing. So it's still really good to protect them, encourage them to do really good hand hygiene, right? They explore through their hands, so we want to keep those hands clean.
And I know the hospital sees itself as, you know, not just a place where people go when they're sick, but a resource for the community for information like this. How can people find out more information? You mentioned the CDC, and I know that we've got a link to their website on our website, but is there a phone number they can call? Should they start with those more basic and general areas first?
Yeah, so there, if you have internet access, the CDC is the most up-to-date, and that will be the great source of truth. Secondly, the Arizona Department of Health, they are publicizing every day how many cases Arizona has, what you can do, those prevention methods. And then there's also a public health Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 question line, where if you have general questions, maybe not health advice, but general questions about COVID, you can call that number. And so that number is 928-317-4687. So we do encourage if you're ill, yes, please contact your health provider.
All right. We've run out of time, and we'll put that number on our website. My guest has been Mika Naranjo, YRMC's Infection Prevention Team Head. And this is Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening.